Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is Shen Kurdonsky, a physicist and the CTO and co-founder of Light Solver, where he leads the development of a proprietary physics-based computing system built on coupled laser dynamics to accelerate compute-heavy simulations and other computationally demanding workloads. Before moving into physics, he started in electrical engineering, a combination that helps him bridge advanced computing and complex physical systems. Welcome to the podcast, Shen.
Thank you, Daniel, for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk with you today.
I'm excited as well. It's a great topic. So to start, please tell us a little bit about your background and your company, Light Solver.
I started in electrical engineering, and then I moved into physics. While I'm working in my master degree at Technion, I worked on semiconductor quantum dots, which give me a strong foundation on quantum system and photonics. So my interest positioned me at the intersection of engineering and complex physical systems. But when I think about what took me in that direction, I always been fascinated by this idea. Can we tackle computationally demanding problems like heavy simulation by taking physics-based approach, building the right physical system that mimic the original process instead of forcing everything through digital computers? But while I was working in my PhD at Weizmann Institute, that all came together for me. I worked on coupled lasers network. Originally, I started my study on emergent network behavior like synchronization and pattern formation across different topologies. And those laser networks are actually controllable physical systems. And I realized that can mimic or simulate other physical systems as an alternative approach to digital computing and much, much faster. I know I was behind academic curiosity. I was moving down the path to a new computing paradigm. And fortunately, at Weizmann, I also met Ruti Ben Shlomi, who was working on real quantum system, specifically interactions of cold atoms and cold ions. And we shared the same intuition that physics-based dynamics could be the foundation of a practical computational platform. And in 2020, we founded Light Solver, and we built on the promise of developing these physics-based processors, built on coupled lasers dynamics, to accelerate compute-heavy simulations and other computationally demanding workloads. That was the genesis of the laser processing unit, or the LPU.
Interesting. You know, from what I understand, optical and photonic processors are being experimented with as accelerators for AI. But you've argued that one of its most important near-term uses will actually be in scientific simulation. What's drawing optical processors towards solving partial differential equations instead of just, you know, chasing AI workloads?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Optics and photonics processors are absolutely being explored for AI. And for the core idea, it makes sense. Yeah, optics can do certain operations very efficiently, like Fourier transform or vector matrix multiplication. The practical challenges is when large AI systems demand extreme scale, precision, and stability. And in many photonics AI concept, you still need substantial electronic control, calibration, and optoelectronics I/O conversion. And when you look on the full system, those overheads can reduce or eliminate the end-to-end advantage. That's require a careful core design and still need some research breakthrough to reach practicality and scale up. Scientific simulation is different. And this is where we focus. A large fraction of the HPC or high-performance computing workloads are in partial differential equation-based simulations. They sit at the core of engineering and science. from fluid dynamics and heat transfer to multi-physics systems like weather forecast and fusion reactors. And those types of simulations are the foundation of critical applications such as aircraft, automotive design, energy system, and advanced manufacturing. And this is where we excel. Our laser processing unit, or the LPU, is not a photonic version of conventional computers. It's fully parallel physical system. All variables represent simultaneously inside this coupled laser cavity, and the interactions are implemented as engineered coupling between those lasers. We send light from one light laser to the other in a controllable fashion. So the state of the entire system evolves at once in hardware without constant memory fetch and data movement that you see in digital architecture. This is one of the major bottlenecks in HPC that HPC faces today. In practice, the problem, you program the coupling of a specific PDE based task, and then let physics evolve and toward the stable state, and then you just read out the result. This improves both time to solution and energy efficiency for most demanding part of the task.
Okay, so let's level set for listeners who don't live inside HPC every day. What are partial differential equations, and why do they sit at the heart of so many simulations in industries like aerospace, automotive, and climate science?
So partial differential equation, or PDEs, are the mathematical language that used to describe how physical quantities changes across space and time. Instead of single number changing with time, you describe an entire field like velocity, pressure, temperature, or stress defined everywhere in three-dimensional space and evolving over time. That's why PDE sits at the heart of so many industrial scientific simulations. Airflow over wing, heat transfer in an engine, mechanical stress in a structure, climate and weather models, and even parts of chip design like heat dissipation and electromagnetic fields are all reduced to PDEs with boundary condition and material properties. A good example is turbulent airflow around the wing. The wind is in meters in size, but the thin boundary layer determine the drag and stall can be orders of magnitude smaller. To capture both scales, you discretize the space into very fine 3D mesh and step the solution forward in time. And each time step now require solving large coupled equations that they represent repeatedly until the solution is stable. This is why PDE simulations consume enormous amount of energy and compute, and why as we increase the fidelity and resolution, the computational cost goes dramatically, often faster than the performance we gain from each new generation of hardware.
Got it. So you mentioned that optical and photonic processors will start moving out of research labs maybe this year and into real operational environments. What does that shift look like in reality, and where do you expect these systems to show up first?
So I don't think the move into operational environment would look like, sudden revolution or complete replacement of digital computing paradigm. It would look like a pragmatic insertion of into existing workflow, where optical processors are used as specialized engines and are judged by measurable time to solution and energy to solution. I think we will continue to see photonics adopted in I/O and interconnect, but the more interesting shift beyond I/O is when photonics start contributing to computation itself. In practice, it would show at first as domain-specific accelerator that plug into existing HPC pipeline rather than replacing them. The early deployment will be in a small-scale pilot, and inside HPC centers with industrial simulation team focused on models that are most intensive in terms of runtime and power consumption. And the key is not doing everything optically, but offloading part of the parts where the physical system can evolve in a parallel efficiently and deliver stable and repeatable outcome quickly. I also expect physics-based free space optical systems to appear early in those pilots because they can be packaged as appliances integrated with a standard software workflow and evaluated in real industrial problems with clear acceptance criteria. And I think the winners would be the system that can integrate it cleanly, show repeatable gains, and come with a realistic validation path.
Okay. You also introduced the concept of physics native computing as a new category of hardware. What does that term mean in simple terms, and why is now the moment for it to emerge alongside CPUs, GPUs, and even, you know, the coming quantum systems?
So let's explore that. Physics native computing means using controllable physical system as a computing engine. Instead of simulating everything step by step on a digital processor, you program the interactions of the physical substrate whose dynamics matches the mathematical structure that you care about. You let it evolve, and then you read out the results. This concept is not new in spirit. Engineers have long used physical models as computers, like wind tunnels in aerodynamics, or analog electronic circuits for dynamical systems. What hold many of those approaches back from being accepted as general computing tools was programmability. If each new problem required building new physical setup, you can scale beyond the narrow use case. What's changing now is significant. We understand how building physical native systems that are programmable and repeatable enough to be reused across class of problems. And this is the game changer here, the programmability. Optics is a good example. In optics, it enables you to represent many variables simultaneously and engineer the interactions between them in a reconfigurable way. So some hardware, the same hardware can be adopted for different types of tasks rather than locked into a single task. We also now see this parallel to quantum computing. One of the original motivation for quantum computing, as Feynman noted back in the early 1980s, was that to simulate quantum systems that are extremely hard to compute classically. Physics native computing follows similar high level principle, but in our case, the target is classical computing workloads. The point I want to emphasize is this, that there is very little overlap between those systems, and you can think that you can choose to run on quantum computer and what we can run on our system. So both can emerge in as a different complementary approaches alongside CPUs and GPUs.
Okay, so you're describing a gradual approach of integrating optical engines into existing HB infrastructure, which makes sense. How should simulation teams think about integrating optical hardware into their current tool chains to gain speed and energy efficiency without breaking what already works?
That's a great question. There is no overnight replacement, of HPC. The simulation team should not think about the optical hardware as a new monolithic platform that forces rewrite everything. The winning path is hybrid, to introduce an optical engine as a complementary compute component inside existing workflow. Simulation teams should think in terms of partitioning in the computation. And, the digital side is still does a lot of heavy lifting, meshing, discretizing, discretization choices, multi-physics coupling, pre- and post-processing and verification, and it also remained a system of record for regression tests and accuracy matrices. The optical engine is then used selectively for the parts of the computation that matches its strengths. For example, tightly coupled updates over many variables that can evolve simultaneously in physics-native way. Think of iterative computation in your workloads, for example, Poisson or Wave or Navier-Stokes equations, if you're familiar with those types of partial differential equations. You can think of it as a well-defined compute primitive or a small repeatable computing task inside a broader pipeline to measure end-to-end and time-to-solution and energy-to-solution while maintaining a clean fallback path to the digital baseline. This let teams adopt incrementally. They do not break what already works. They add our accelerator, the optical engine, validate it on a substrate of workloads, and expand usage only when it's stable, scalable, and operationally simple enough to integrate.
Final question, Shen. How do customers normally engage with you and your company? I mean, your website is lightsolver.com.
Yes.
What else can they do to get in touch with you?
So they can contact us through the website. They can learn a lot about us through the website. There's a lot of information there, and they can contact us, and we can give them access to additional material to learn how to work with the LPU, and they can use it as a background both for education and also contact us directly and work on our LPU 100, we have LPU Lab accessible already for early adopters. So if it's very relevant to us, of course, we will give them access. And with that, I want to first of all thank you for that, for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for being our guest. It was a great conversation, and I hope we can keep in touch. Let us know how your progress is going, and I'll hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, it was. It's really exciting to be here, and thank you again.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.